This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Members of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians cast ballots this week in general elections. Two veteran politicians are competing for the position of principal chief, including the incumbent chief, Richard Sneed. Among the hotly debated issues is a potential new casino outside of Charlotte run by the South Carolina-based Catawba Tribe and concerns about transparency and corruption. Blue Ridge Public Radio's Lily Knepp has been following the lead-up to the elections and joins us now. Lily, welcome back.
Hey, Frank. How are you doing?
Doing very well. We talk about these elections and what's at stake. Maybe you can talk a little bit about the structure of the government of the Eastern Band and how that fits in with the sort of the local politics.
Absolutely. So there are actually three Cherokee tribes nationwide that are all have their own separate government. There's the Cherokee Nation and the Nugadua Band out in Oklahoma. And then here in North Carolina, we have the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. And their government is set up around their tribal council. So there are 12 tribal council seats that are all up for election, and then the principal chief and the vice chief.
All right, and so those are all up for election in this round. You sat down with the two candidates for principal chief. Both have significant political experience. Maybe you can introduce them to us.
Absolutely. So the current incumbent chief right now is Richard Sneed, and he was previously the vice chief before he was appointed chief in 2017. And then Teresa McCoy is from Big Cove, and she has been in and out of the tribal council for the last 30 years, serving on the council for 20 years. So they both have gotten to know each other a lot throughout the political process, and they disagree on a lot of issues, which I think we're going to get into.
Well, let's talk about that right now. What are the issues that voters are looking at?
So one of the biggest issues that people are talking about is just transparency and corruption. So sort of when Chief Sneed actually got into office, was after the impeachment of the former chief, Patrick Lambert. And he was impeached in 2017, and that's when Sneed was appointed. And actually, Teresa McCoy, who's his he's running against, was against that impeachment. So that's sort of where they start.
All right. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that impeachment and some of the issues that were at stake there, because this gets into the debate over corruption and transparency and kind of who's and also who's on whose side in all of this. So talk about what happened to Patrick Lambert.
Absolutely. So he was brought up on 12 charges of corruption and was found guilty of 8 of them. And they're all sort of centered around just bringing people into office who directly benefit from their jobs or you get some benefit from. And that is still, you know, something that people talk about. It's a small, the Eastern Band is only 1,600 members. And so everybody has a personal connection. And so it's trying to figure out when that line between corruption and transparency is crossed.
Right. And that looked like corruption to some. Patrick Lambert is saying, no, I'm cleaning house. The corruption was here when I got here. That's why I got rid of all those people and brought in the people that I trusted more deeply.
Exactly. And then he was removed for that. Right. So now Sneed is saying he's cleaned up that corruption. And Teresa McCoy is saying she would like to come and clean up that corruption. So it's very he said, she said, he said, she said.
All right. One issue that has at least a more objective component to it is the possibility of an outside tribe, the Catawba, from who are now based in South Carolina, who have petitioned for a casino near Charlotte. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of politics around this, but it looks like there is some support, at least politically, in the state of North Carolina for that. But, of course, this means perhaps some competition for the Cherokee. So set up that story for us.
Absolutely. So back in March, Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina introduced this bill for the Catawba Indians in South Carolina to be able to build a casino in North Carolina. And this has gotten some support from Senator Burr here in the state. And he's been very vocal about his support of that casino and has sort of a longstanding disagreement with the Cherokee, the Eastern Band, around the Lumbee, who are in his district. They are a state-recognized tribe, but not a federally recognized tribe. And so if you talk to Chief Richard Sneed, that's his reasoning behind the Catawba not being able to build a casino in North Carolina. They are both federally recognized, but they're only allowed to build within their state. So in North Carolina, you are allowed to have federally recognized tribal gaming. In South Carolina, you're not. So for them to be able to come in to North Carolina, he sees that as something that's illegal and that people are trying to sidestep this law that has been put in place by the federal government, not by the tribal nations. So that's where he stands on that. And then Teresa McCoy is on the other side.
So there's a whole legal argument about whether or not this could even go forward or whether it would even take an act of Congress for the Catawba to build a casino in North Carolina. And that's a legal argument that could be we could spend an hour talking about that. But the fact is, you've got Senator Burr who supports it. And of course, it looks on the surface of it like a lot of competition for the Eastern Band of Cherokee, who have their own casino and probably wouldn't like to see the competition.
Absolutely. The casino is their main revenue stream. They have two casinos here in Western North Carolina, and that's where they get the bulk of their income. So right now, that really is this next administration is looking at ways to diversify their revenue streams. They actually just started a sort of a venture capital program that's still looking for people to fund. And they're hoping that this is going to be able to change the way that the tribe makes their money so that if anything does happen as far as gambling goes in North Carolina, then they will still be able to, be a solvent sovereign nation.
In the meantime, the issue of whether to fight the Catawba effort to build a casino near Charlotte has actually divided the two candidates. And so I want to play. I know you talked to Chief Sneed and also to Teresa McCoy. Let's listen to what each of them has to say. Chief Sneed, who says that he does support the effort, not the casino, but the effort to fight the casino. Let's listen.
I will fight that bill with my dying breath. You probably saw Senator Burr's op-ed. You know, and he called us bullies. Well, the fact of the matter is, all we ever do is call these federal officials on the fact that there's federal law in place already that we are subject to. And we're simply saying, if we're going to be held to that standard, then everybody else should be held to that standard as well.
All right, Eastern Band of Cherokee Principal Chief Richard Sneed talking about a bill that would permit a South Carolina tribe to build a casino outside of Charlotte. He's running for re-election against veteran politician Teresa McCoy. Here's her position on the issue.
I would hope that tribal nations would partner with each other or at least seek each other's advice and remain friendly, because we have many more issues that we need to stick together on that are going to be coming out of Washington and possibly from the states in the future that would require us to band together and instead of being divisive and fighting with each other.
Teresa McCoy running for principal chief of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. I'm talking with Blue Ridge Public Radio reporter Lily Knepp. Lily, tell us a little bit about this, because it would seem to me, is this a divisive issue for the Eastern Band, or are people up there pretty much united on this? Where's Teresa McCoy's position, and how does it map onto the general population?
Teresa is very much, she feels that everyone should band together as part of the Native Americans in North Carolina and across the country, that, you know, there is enough gaming revenue for everyone. This would be a hit to the Cherokee, but no one's really sure how much. And that is reflected, I think, that diversity of opinion across the voters. Teresa McCoy did come in a little bit ahead of Principal Chief Richard Sneed in the ballots, but it's not by very much. These seats are pretty tight. So in the primary, Teresa had 1,132 votes, and Richard Sneed had 1,117. So it's a tight race with people, you know, very spread out on all these different issues.
All right. Well, I want to change gears now and talk briefly about a new series that you launched recently with BPR that explores Appalachian identity and stereotypes. Tell us about Exploring Southern Appalachia.
So it's been really, really, really exciting. This sort of started after Burt Reynolds' death, actually, back in 2018. We got to talking about Deliverance, the movie. You know, it was shot in the Chattooga River, pretty close to Western North Carolina, right over the border in South Carolina. And so a lot of people in the region are directly connected to the film. And that movie really still has kind of set up the Southern stereotypes that people still talk about. I mean, you can't say the word banjo without somebody saying those few notes.
That's right. Well, and what's interesting is you're going to talk about the culture, but also some very real practical effects of this, including the kind of the whitewater industry or the environmental protection, right?
Absolutely. So Deliverance is actually, you know, as much as it is just a movie, it's also very much connected to the Whitewater industry. A lot of the people who worked on the consulting of the film, you know, then went on to start their own companies. One of the gentlemen I talked to actually bought some of the rafts from the film and then started his Whitewater company out of that. And that what's still going on strong. I saw it the other day on the Chattooga. So it's really been an interesting way that the film has impacted people. And learning about the Chattooga, that was where President Jimmy Carter went down the river, and it has is now being saved by the Wild and Scenic River Act. So this is really a film that kind of touched a lot of different parts of Western North Carolina and Southern Appalachia.
Well, talking about that trip, you spoke with Doug Woodward, who worked as a stuntman and consultant for the canoeing in the film Deliverance, and he shared a story about Jimmy Carter's trip down the Chattooga with First Lady Rosalynn Carter. Let's listen.
The raft got really twisted in the drop, and the guide and the governor went overboard. Rosalynn was the one who held her position and was upright in the raft and helped pull the others back into it.
Deliverance stuntman and consultant Doug Woodward talking about former President Jimmy Carter's trip down the Chattooga River with First Lady Rosalynn Carter, and I'm talking with Blue Ridge Public Radio reporter Lily Knepp. So, Lily, what's next in the series?
So, actually, today we're coming out with our next segment, and it will be focused all around the literature. So, before Deliverance was ever a film, it was a novel written by James Dickey, who was a U.S. Poet Laureate. And so we talk about where Southern literature kind of stands now, those really big bombastic figures like Burt Reynolds is in Deliverance. You know, how have we grown from that, and what can we learn from those stereotypes?
Lily Knepp, a reporter with Blue Ridge Public Radio. You can find links to her reporting in the series at our website, stateofthings.org. Lily, thank you so much.
Thanks, Frank.
Just ahead, dragons, firearms, and fiddles grace the cabinets of a turn-of-the-century woodworker. We'll be right back with the forgotten work of Tilden Stone on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.